It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis.
Hello, 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 New York. How are you? Hope all is well. Welcome to another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tonight is very, 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 very exciting. I know you've heard me say that before, but this one really is, not to the exclusion of the other ones, okay? No slight. That's why, I mean, I may ask Ellie, do you have a favorite guest to choose? But we know that you can't ask, do you have a favorite son? So we have to be careful. I slipped with the first name, but radio is a little bit of suspense here. So before I get to my guest, first of all, thank you, New York. We have a great listenership. That's great. And you've come to expect great guests. And tonight is a incredible guest. We'll get to hear more about him just in a minute. First of all, a special shout out. Well, of course, as you know, you get on the YouTube channel and now on 24/6. And of course, on Spotify and so many different platforms that we're active on. You can get my interview that I had with the CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue, the CMO at GE, Joe Hart, the CEO of Dale Carnegie, and John Sculley, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and on and on and on and on. You could pick that up. And many of them our video that's on our YouTube channel, and of course at MYB Radio. A special shout out also to the various channels that we're syndicated on. Of course, the Jewish Home has a beautiful column every single week with a print edition of select shows. We're, of course, the Business Class channel you can catch us on. But I just got to get to my guest. Of course, one second. Special thank you to the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Michal Srilli, Elio Lehr, got me in touch with tonight's guest. Without further ado, Ellie Langer. Yes, he is the host of Kosher Money, and Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. They just broke 1 million subscribers. We have to do a dance. Where's the music? Where's the million subscribers?
So the keyword is
Mazel Tov.
Thank you. The keyword is they, right? We're a team. The same way you're surrounded by a very dedicated and capable team.
Yes.
I'm just a small piece of that, right? I get a list of questions that the team prepares. I sit down and then the team post produces the episode. They market the episode. So I'm just a small cog in a big machine.
I'm going to drill down here.
Yes.
That's very gracious and very kind. And I have tremendous accuracy to my team. Michal Sofer, Srilli, Elio, and Nachi, and many on the team. But, and it takes a team to build a village and whatever the cliches are. Okay. We've all studied your work, and there's a certain art, there's a certain style. Maybe we could even just drill down for that, because Bli Ayin Hara, it's. I know you're gonna deflect it, but it's you and the team, okay, and the team and you. The way you have a certain style, it's beautiful. You interview someone, you look them in the eye, you ask the questions with a cadence. Let's get into that. And I hope I'm not putting, this is okay.
This is exciting for me.
Okay.
No one. I'm in front of a mic and someone's asking me questions.
Okay,
usually
you.
I have to sit there, and I've learned the art of interviewing is almost keeping your mouth shut. I don't mean to strongly recommend that. I want you to talk.
Okay.
I like the back and forth the most, but the style of my podcasts are questions and answers. So when I ask someone a question and then they're silent for 5 seconds, initially that scared me. And then I realized the audience is okay with that. They want to hear a thought-provoking answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that means the person that I'm asking the question to, many a times they're not presented with it prior. So they have to go through their archives in their brain, look for the file, who am I speaking to? Okay, let me bring out that nuance of that response. And it's thoughtful. So if you listen to my early episodes, I'll ask a question, and if there's silence, I'll piggyback it off another question, and I'll be like, here are some options for you to choose from within your answer. And then it took some guts to be okay with silence. So I think a really important piece that I've learned in the interviewing process, because when I started,
right,
I thought, what could be so hard about it? I'm sitting there talking to someone, having a conversation, but there are elements within interviewing, especially when there are listeners in the audience, that you have to be cognizant about what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're not saying. And when you're quiet and listening and allowing them to develop their thoughts, even if they go for 5 minutes, I wouldn't necessarily follow up with another question, because sometimes the best answer comes 6-7 minutes into their response.
It's so true. Just let them, and then it's like, wow. It's like, and it needed that buildup to get to that nakuda, to get to that particular golden nugget, so to speak.
Sure, you have to warm them up, right? And that's where it gets a little tricky, because if the meat and potatoes are 33 minutes into your episode, will someone sit there for 25 minutes to get to the meat and potatoes? So you have to balance the two. You don't want to start boring. You don't want to start, you know, and I hope it doesn't take 33 minutes to get to that, but it's worth reiterating. It's unusual sitting in front of a mic and being asked the questions where you have to listen to me, finally. So that's exciting.
And going back to some of the early ones, Naftali Horowitz was number two?
Yes, he was our second guest. Amazing. At the time, he was at JP Morgan Chase. He's since moved on to Morgan Stanley. And he comes from a long line of, like, he has a rabbinical genealogy.
Yeah.
So he could probably master the Talmudic studies and give courses as it relates to it, but his niche is finance. And his ability to eloquently talk about things that everyone is either struggling with or he resonates. So, and he's a genius. So you put the two together, it's like, give me more. My brother, who was initially the vision Yaakov behind
Let's give a shout
Kosher
out.
Money,
sure.
He initially wanted Naftali Horowitz to host it.
Wow.
So he said, okay, Naftali's like, I can't, I have too much on my plate. I'll come on as a guest. And his episodes have millions and millions of views.
Amazing. Now, you know, this leads me to my next question. You have interviewed a wide variety.
Yeah.
From financial advisors to rabbis. I got a chance to get a quick glimpse at the Rabbi Gertzman one. So, like, I'm saying to myself, and this, by the way, and I know here we're on radio, even juggling the fact that, you know, we're Hamish Eden, and we have to, we're cognizant, which you do an amazing job at. But I, you know, those in the know understand exactly how, I don't say complicated, how delicate, you know, that is. And you really master the art. So you interview business people, rabbis, but it comes down to money, kosher money. Is there an approach? Is there a certain type of, approach, and maybe is the word I'm going to use, that you have that's maybe consistent among all the approach you're taking between all your different guests?
Great question. So when we started, we said, we're going to create content for Orthodox Jews. Money, we're Orthodox Jews. We're working for a living. We will create content for Orthodox Jews. And then what we realized is non-Jews in Indonesia loved our content. We have millions of listeners in India. We can literally create 10 cities. We can create a tour, go to India, put out a message, and people would fill the rooms. Literally millions of listeners over the last year from the country of India. And when we started realizing that, we said our content transcends religion. There is truth to it. And when there's truth and humans in the same room, it resonates. So we started, as you alluded to, if a guest says a Hebrew word on YouTube, we'll translate that.
You see it on the screen.
And it's an important piece because it keeps the content sticky. It allows them to understand, even though they said what we'll call a Dvar Torah.
Right.
They shared words from the Bible. Now they have the ability to learn from our guest, regardless of what language they speak. So we have a commandment to be a light to the nations. And this is super relevant. We've had Rabbi Manas Friedman on, and he speaks very strongly about that. We're doing our seemingly mundane work of putting out content, but yet people who never were exposed to Judaism, some people are listening, they don't even know what a Jew is. As wild as it seems from our seats,
right.
They're sitting there. Their first exposure to Judaism is truth, and it's being shared in regards to money, which is relevant to them, and then they get hooked. One episode, two episodes, three episodes, and by then they're a fan.
It's amazing. Now let's go back down memory lane.
You did ask what's the glue that seems to be a common theme with it. So I'm 37 years old and people always have told me growing up that you have a lot to learn, right? Wisdom comes with age. I have sat through a crash course of 62 episodes. I've gone to anything better than, especially these days, Harvard, Yale, the best of the bunch, or so we used to call it.
Right.
I sat through Financial Literacy 101, 102, 103, 104. And then in post-production, I'm listening to it again. So we say in Hebrew, Chazara is the ikar, right? Yeah. Reviewing is the most important thing. And I'm listening and people are commenting and I'm immersing myself in education. So as much as I'm educating the world with this content, it's not my content, it's the people that are talking to me. I don't really have opinions. I have a front row seat to the best college in the world. And there's a lot of value to that. And I'm very thankful to that. And I didn't really pick up on that until I was about 42 episodes in that this is gold. This is gold.
That's correct.
I think there are a few common threads with people. I think this idea of being intentional, right? A lot of the guests talk about not living in a bubble, not doing things by rote, understanding what you're doing day to day and take a step back. We have all these outlooks on how other people are living, how other people are spending. But then when it comes to ourselves, we've sort of gotten so used to it. We're habitual creatures. Where it's almost the best advice I can give people right now is to ask someone close to you to give you raw feedback. You know, put the gloves down. I'm not going to punch back. Tell me, what do you think I can be doing a bit better with? Whether it's finances, how I'm living. And trust me, your friends have opinions. You just haven't asked them. So that's really a common theme. There are, especially when we do business episodes, right? So some of our episodes are strongly personal finance focused. Right. So budgeting, investing, and then we'll have episodes such as business building. So not every episode's going to speak to everybody. If we try to do that, 100% of our episodes will be watered down. And it's okay if there's a 35-year-old female in Lakewood who's this particular episode isn't resonating with, that's okay. You can't win them all. But you know what? Next week, she'll be front row seat. When you think about it, when an episode has 80,000 people listening to it, that's a MetLife Stadium.
That's right.
Right? These are real people listening. So it's huge. It's huge. We sort of discount just how powerful and far-reaching content creation is. And I do think, and we'll get into that in the upper side, I think what you're doing and what I'm doing, I think, especially within Orthodox Jewish circles, more and more people should be leaning into this. There's money to be made. There's a business. There's ways to support your family with content creation, and all you need is a phone. They have what they need. There's no startup capital. They just need grit and determination and go. And you know what? Maybe it'll take 97 different videos for you to scratch the surface. We didn't get a million subscribers overnight. It was hard. People had to believe in us. Initially, the OU had to fund our first few episodes. We still don't make a ton of money from this and we reinvest into it. But now there's a business, whether we channel it into the nonprofit space, the for-profit space, there's a revenue stream. And that is solely from content creation, real content creation. There's a lot of fake content. If you can create things, and I'm all over the place. I love this.
This is amazing.
I feel like bring me the Etch-A-Sketch. We got the Etch-A-Sketch right here. I feel like this is what I'm doing verbally right now, right? I'm creating, and then I'm going that way.
I love it.
And then I'm going
that
way.
That's what we wanted you.
Yeah. So,
On that point, just to hold on to that, the importance that anyone out there, if you have good content, don't shy away. And especially in today's day and age, there's LinkedIn and there's WhatsApp and there's avenues.
Sure.
And the barrier to entry is low.
You do not have to be an extrovert to create content. Maybe you don't want to be in front of the camera, but some of the best producers in the world, and I'm sure you have some of them in the room right now, have a vision and an understanding that they can create a business, they can create a model, they can create a process around content creation. And you know what? All they need to do is fit in a host. They don't want to be that host. That's okay. But there are real talents out there, whether it's in the written word, the verbal word, video production, there's so much. And the tools, right? AI, yeah. The tools that we have available to us, you can go from A to Z within a week.
Now, Ellie, something that I know I deal with, I'm going to ask you the question also. Don't you feel like when you're on the set, the time just flies? Like suddenly, like, because remember on radio, I have a block. I have to end by a certain time. On YouTube, you can keep going, even though, again, in general, the episodes are an hour and 7 minutes, an hour and 10 minutes. But every once in a while, I'm like, hey, I got to go to commercial break soon. I'm like, we're 16 minutes in. No way.
So that's interesting. I have, as you said, a completely different setup.
Okay.
I push play and we can talk. We will stop talking when we run out of words to say. We do 40-minute episodes. We do an hour 20. Generally, I found the sweet spot with video is about 45 minutes. I see that in person also with classes. After 40, 45 minutes, people move on. They're ready to go back to the swiping of the short forms. But that's interesting. Like when I'm in the studio, I don't get to wear this. I feel like I'm back to my CNBC days where I have headphones. I'm in a studio. We're actually building out a studio now. It's exciting, certainly different than radio. So, and I have some questions. Shout out to my uncle, Rich Roberts.
I didn't know it's uncle.
I saved that for, I wanted to release something huge. You had him on before us. I haven't had him on personally.
Dr. Rich Roberts is, let me explain why he's a dream guest. Mm-hmm. He really is one of the very few dream guests. I'd say he's in the category there with Beth Comstock and some others, and John Sculley. Why he took a company that was, and he says it openly, that was on the verge of bankruptcy, turned it around, Baruch Hashem, did incredibly well. And he's open.
Yes.
This is the beauty about a Rich Roberts interview. He says, ask me anything besides the fish tank. But of course, all those that watch it, you know, how many fish does he really have in that? Is it salt water? Is it fresh water? All the questions that come with a Rich Roberts interview. But the fact is, you could ask him anything and he's done it. Meaning when he was at the company, he talked about how he would walk the floor every once in a while. He didn't just sit up there in the corner office suite. You know, he walked the floor of the building. He says, anyone that's running a company, you must do that from time to time. Walk the floor and see what's going on. And he shares that. And therefore, the listeners are like, and he makes it relatable to whether you're running a small mom and pop shop or a company or that has 1,000 employees.
He was Elon Musk before Elon Musk. Yeah. And what I mean by that is he says it as it is.
Yeah.
He has opinions.
Yeah.
He's an opinionated person.
Very opinionated.
And he shares it. And like you said, he's done it. So I think Elon Musk gets a lot of the credit because he's not your usual buttoned up CEO.
Right. CEO.
Right. And that's refreshing. I think we're living in a time where there's so much fake, especially as it relates to the Instagram society. And when you find somebody that's real, it's refreshing. And the more, and it's no different to the guests we want to have on. If we can share those people with the world, people say, yes, I want more. I want more. We had Rabbi Gertzman on. You referenced that episode. We released it 2 days ago. He talks about how consumerism is slowly destroying Jewish communities and beyond, slowly, this need to buy new and buy. And people are clamoring for a second episode. I said, guys, wow. I released it 2 days ago. Maybe watch it again. Like, no, we want more. And when it's real and it's truth and the person is well spoken, you put it all together and it's just digitally delicious.
My guess is none other than Ellie Langer, host of Kosher Money, no stranger to our audience. And of course, a shout out to your illustrious brother who started Living L'Chaim, Yaakov Langer. And a special thank you to, of course, Eliyahu Lehrer, who put this all together. We're going to take care of some business. That's how it gets done here on 710 WR, the Voice of New York. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Take your company's leadership and management skills to new heights. Imagine soaring through the sky in a military-grade F-35 flight simulator, just as the real thing. I am Kobi Regev, CEO and founder of The Squadron, and I am a former fighter pilot and a squadron commander in the Israeli Air Force. Our workshops offer an empowering training experience that will push your boundaries and help unleash your company's full potential. Visit us at thesquadron.com to learn more. That's thesquadron.com to learn more.
A defining moment in your life can be transformational. And when that moment comes, you need to be prepared with emotional intelligence. Hi, I'm Chuck Garcia, author of Amazon's bestseller, A Climb to the Top, and my new book called The Moment That Defines Your Life is coming out in February 2024. Learn how to integrate modern practices of emotional intelligence with classic Stoic philosophies. Pre-order on Amazon today.
The future that you envision for yourself and your business is totally attainable. You need support along the way. And as entrepreneurs, having a team around you that supports you in achieving what that vision is vital. And that is something that the Covenant Group is committed to delivering.
Most of the times that people come to the Covenant Group, usually it's that they want to enjoy what they're doing, they want to have more quality time, or they want to have financial independence or financial security.
My name is Keith Deming.
I'm Norm Traynor.
And we educate and coach entrepreneurs
to build a high-performance business.
We are, in essence, design engineers, and we're helping entrepreneurs design the business that's right for them and then execute.
The idea of having somebody coach you through the hard times in the business and think through what it is to have an inventory of client activity and what it is to build a base of revenue and to think like a business person, it's just not common in our industry.
My name is Mark Parton.
I'm Dean Harder.
I'm Alvin Brown.
I'm Jay Langford.
My name is Luke Godet.
I'm Andrew McKinnon, and I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
And I'm building a high-performance business.
Building a high-performance business.
Learn more by visiting www.covenantgroup.com.
We have a special offer for the listeners of Mind Your Business only through December 31st.
If you go to mperformcoaching.com, as a guest and as a listener of Mind Your Business Radio, you can get a free month of coaching for the month of December if you join the program. That way we can teach you these skills, these tools to be successful over the holidays and start 2024 right.
What if you could have 30 years of marketing secrets with just the click of a button? Go to bottomlinebrew.com to unlock exclusive marketing, leadership, and sales tips from Fortune 500 executives. Bottomlinebrew.com. Each week, you'll get one email packed with business insights to grow your bottom line. To get the Bottom Line Brew delivered straight to your inbox, visit bottomlinebrew.com. That's bottomlinebrew.com.
And we're back. My guest, Ellie Langer of Kosher Money. Thank you, Sirili, for that. Hello, Elio. Hello, Michal. And of course, hello to everyone out there who's watching on YouTube and of course on 24/6 and the many other channels that we are on. Eli Langer, it is a very big treat to have you here in studio.
Thank you for having me. It's back. Amazing.
We're back. Now, a couple of weeks ago or episodes ago, as we say in the industry, you interviewed the publisher. The editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. And in that interview, you asked a very pointed, a great question. What is something that is kind of a common thread that you see in all entrepreneurs?
Sure. And I've learned over the episodes that every time you ask that to somebody that has a good handle on business, you'll get a different answer. But that doesn't mean any of the answers are wrong. It just means that there's no one thing that you need to have to either succeed or not succeed. So Jason Pfeiffer, he is a storyteller at heart, a fantastic man with his words. He can write a kid's time. He could put stories on tape and we just push play and we can go to sleep listening to his. He's very, very.
And by the way, for those watching on tape, we'll get to this soon. Like a stories on tape. What is Ellie talking about?
Okay, he's holding up the
cassettes. Good old-fashioned cassettes.
Yeah, that used to work in my car, but I try to jam it into the AC slot. It doesn't work anymore. So Jason said something very interesting. He has an entire book. It's called Built for Tomorrow. And the thesis of his book is your ability to change will dictate how successful you're going to be. If you're locked into your ways, you are going to have a problem. And the reason, quite simply, is the world is changing. So if your process is not changing, the world's going to change you, and not for the better. So he quoted Dwayne Johnson and his business manager, and their idea is be married to the outcome. What do you want out of this? And then sometimes the best way to get to your destination is through highway number one. But if there's traffic on highway number one the next day, it would be very silly to go and follow the same process from the day before.
Right.
You should take highway number two.
Right.
And as Jews, someone pointed out, our job is to do the work, and it's up to God to create the process. And I don't think that they are mutually exclusive.
Right. Correct.
I think that our hishtadlis, our job, our effort is to sometimes change the process, right? That's what we can control.
Right.
I think, and based off of what I've learned from my rabbis, is that your job is to do the best you can. Now, sometimes that means changing the process. Obviously, we need to have our eyes on the outcome. We need to strive for something, but it doesn't mean we should be doing the same thing day in, day out, because ultimately someone somewhere else is going to create a better process and overcome you.
Now, Ellie, in preparation for the show, and again, watching that a great episode with Jason. So I dug up here a Fortune 500 edition. This is a Fortune magazine, Fortune 500, America's largest corporations, which came out when you were in your young 20s.
Mm.
Okay, based on the age that you shared before, this came out in May of 2010. Here's an ad for iPad when it just was launched. And some other goodies. I don't know, do you remember this?
That's
the BlackBerry.
Wow.
The BlackBerry. What about this? AOL. This is how they got people to sign up.
1,045 hours free. And it was multi discs, right? You put it in there.
That's right. It was CD-ROM. Oh, actually, you're right. This may have even been on one of these. A 3.5. I didn't bring the 5.25, but
You're holding up the floppy disk.
A floppy disk. Now, this all goes to the point, of course, the cassette, like we said before, and the roll of film, because you discuss Kodak. All, you know, kind of the wayside, the graveyard of as society marches forward. And if someone is resistant to change, they will be left in the dust.
And I think it goes a step further. What I'm learning from these episodes is that you need to disrupt yourself. If you are complacent, if you are comfortable, but you're still succeeding, that's only going to last for a certain amount of time. You need to become comfortable with uncomfortability. You need to be comfortable with disruption. You need to be comfortable with almost inflicting that work pain on yourself to say, what do I need to do to get better, right? I'm not a big believer in constantly monitoring your competition, but if you can put into the processes you have in place that once a month, I want to just go on the competitor's website. Let me look at their Instagram feed. What are they doing? What should we be doing that we're not? And if you bake that into your process, you sort of habitually get used to this idea of getting better. And I think that's super, it sounds very simplistic,
but true. You
need to do, and I've learned process is king. As much as that contradicts, you know, a little bit what we said, I'm not saying the same process is king, but if something's working, create a process. Yes, you're going to have to disrupt it at some point. But if you can figure out a process, then you can start scaling up. Everyone, you know, I'm in an agency, right? You own an agency, right? My revenue is good, but there's only so much I can do with the team that I have in place. You know, some months are better than others, but if I am going to want to scale up, we need to A, create a process around what we're doing, and B, delegation. Delegation, delegation, delegation. The people that I see that are successful are not the ones that are striving for perfection. They're not busy thinking for weeks at a time, what should my company name be? What should the colors in my logo be? I'm not saying it's not important, and I'm not saying you shouldn't spend 10 minutes thinking about it or calling a couple of people, but make a decision. The CEO of Yahoo, or the former CEO of Yahoo, Marissa Mayer, said she got advice. Someone told her, Marissa, you're struggling to make a decision. You have a lot of good choices in front of you. There's no perfect choice. It's your job to take one of them, make it your choice, and take that good choice to be a great choice. And that's within your power. So stop focusing on the Pantone color. It's not going to make or break a business. I don't even know what they do, but there's a company called Hugging Face. They're a $1 billion company today. Okay. I don't know who signed off on whatever that company does that the name Hugging Face should be it. Maybe we've run out of names entirely, but I promise you, you can name your company whatever you want. So long that it's clean, it's going to do the numbers it needs to do because of the work that you put into it. We get very lost again in this Instagram society of perfection, and that's a myth.
By the way, my favorite story on this particular item is Steve Jobs. Yeah. Now, Steve Jobs was a perfectionist. We know that. However, the story goes that when he was coming up with the name for his company, he had an agency, maybe even a few different agencies competing on coming up with the name. And they were going on for a couple of days, turned into weeks. Finally, the story goes, Steve came into the office one day. He said, by the way, today by 5 o'clock, a name is being picked. Mm. And if there isn't a name to my satisfaction, I'm going to name it after my favorite fruit. The rest is history. He called it Apple.
I think the BlackBerry guy did the same thing. You remember the Palm Pilot?
Where did he pick it? Right. That's right. The Palm Pilot came before the BlackBerry.
And what type of name? Palm Pilot was super successful. Think about it. If I approached you and I said in the 90s, I'd like to create a product called the Palm Pilot. It's almost like we don't even think of the word palm and pilot. Right. It just becomes a noun.
Right.
And it's moot, but we can get very lost in the naming and the colors of a product. And
now talking about a name, this is interesting. Yeah. I wish there was like a name for it. Maybe we'll come up with it at some point. And almost like deja vu we understand when you say deja vu, you understand what it means. What happens like while a guest is talking and you had said something and it triggered something in my head about Dr. Roberts, which I'm going to get to, but I'm like, I got to make sure to save it, make sure to file it and then get back to it because I don't want to interrupt you. We got to think of a name for that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll turn to the guest, just let me know.
Yeah. And that's why I'll always sit with a pen.
Right. Smart.
Because the guest is saying something and I'm like, okay, I want to go in that direction. Oh, that's interesting. And that's why sometimes when I'm asking a question, I'll have 3 different directions I want to go, and it's their job to unpack it. And I kind of like that also. It's I give them 3 questions, and then they take it in the interesting direction. But yeah, it's like a digital bookmark or an interview bookmark that you have to keep track. You have to take notes, and then I'll listen to it afterwards. And sometimes I'll hear a guest say something. I'm like, I didn't actually hear them say that initially. You could get distracted.
Same thing.
But it's an interesting world. I think we should have almost like a support group for people interviewing others. There's a lot that goes into it that people don't know. And
it's true.
It's an exciting world. I didn't think that I would be the one to ever be in a seat of a podcast that has grown the way it has. And I think it's a real responsibility. Amazon. People listen to the episodes. People act on the episodes. I'm super careful about the advertisers I bring on. The last thing I want is for some Ponzi scheme to break. Or even worse, I want the advertisers to be kind. I want the advertisers to be people that we want to do business with, that we want our listeners to engage with. And I look at my business the same way. I don't want to take on a high-paying client if it means a headache. I'll let them go. I want, obviously, the ability to make money, but I want to work with good people. I don't need to make the most money so long that my menuchas hanefesh, my
peace of mind.
Peace of mind is there. That's more important than any dollar.
By the way, just a shout out to your business. Feel free to, how could people get in touch with you on the business side?
Yeah. So my email address is ELI.
Or even the, and the website.
Yeah. Harvestingmedia.com. We just redid our website. Nothing too crazy, but we are a digital marketing agency. very similar to the work that you're doing. I think you're more in the Jewish industry, right?
Right.
You do event marketing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. All that. We're on the email marketing side, social media, content creation, paid ads, text message marketing, online review management. It's a lot of fun, but we like to say that we're good at the few things that we do. We're not looking to be everything to everyone.
Smart.
90% of the people that reach out, we say we're not a good fit. Just because learning things and knowing how to do them well, especially as things are changing in today's industry, is tedious. And I'm thinking if I'm contradicting my earlier advice.
No,
you get the point.
Now, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, something flashed in my head. A question, if you remember, you had said something was very insightful, that you ask many of your guests a similar question and you'll get different answers. Okay. I'll never forget, and during one of the interviews with Dr. Rich Roberts, so he said, almost verbatim, he says, you know, I don't know if you use the word bristle, but he says, it makes no sense when people ask the question, what's the most important advice you can give in the world of business? And you know what his answer is? He says, if you're asking, now, of course, when you're asking it to professionals, we want their tip. But when he referred to it as when someone is trying to simplify it, that like, oh, great, you know, like a Hillel, teach me the Torah on one foot, you know, teach me business on one foot. You know, just tell me one thing about business that I could be successful. He says, if you're asking that question, you don't understand how complicated business is.
Sure.
That was his answer.
It's a lazy question.
Right.
Can you give me a shortcut? And there are no shortcuts. I think we get lost on the lottery effect when someone makes a lot of money very quickly. Yes, they end up losing all that money. But the point is, people want that. And they don't realize that in order to truly be successful, it takes time. We sort of coined an unofficial slogan for the podcast, get rich slowly. Now, obviously, the goal is not to get rich. But the point is that if you want to accrue wealth, whether it's financial wealth, whether it's attaining knowledge, you need to do things slowly. You need to understand that it takes time, that it's going to take setbacks, the world. You know, we love a graph that just goes up, 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 up. But that's not business. That's not life. That's not success. It's a roller coaster. There are ups, there are downs. And when someone says, Dr. Rich Roberts, tell me the one secret to that, straight up,
right?
You know, the secret is that there are no secrets.
Yeah.
And that's the message I think he's trying to give.
It's true. Exactly. I'm saying he ran a company, turned it around, and it took 25 years. It took 25 years to get to a quarter century.
So I think this is our unofficial ask for him to come on the
That's right.
Money podcast.
Where are you? What's with the fishies?
But I want him in person. I might have to go to him. He is busy. But I think that there's also something. I mean, Zoom is great if you can't. But we went down to visit Dave Ramsey in Tennessee in his studio.
That was amazing.
There's nothing like flesh to flesh in the sense
that
when you're in front of them, you see their emotions, you get a feel. I don't think that we would have the same dynamic conversation we're having now if it was digital.
And thank you, Ellie, for schlepping out.
Yeah, it wasn't a schlep. It's about a 30-minute trip, about $300 in tolls these days. but it's nice. Also, I get to see the another studio.
Yes.
Really, really nicely well done. And people, right? We talk, I ask that to a lot of the rabbis. You would think a lot of the rabbinical conversations that I'm having are boring, right? They're going to just bore you with biblical wisdom. And when they talk about money in a spiritual sense, and that's what Rabbi Manus Friedman says, I said, what makes the world go round? What is it about money that is topic of a conversation everywhere? And he said, the reason money exists is that it forces us to be social. If Yitzchak Saflis didn't need money and Eli Langer didn't need money, we wouldn't have businesses. We probably wouldn't be interacting right now.
That's so true.
And we would be in our homes just watching the film of the day. And because we need money, it forces us to be social. And we think of money, no, that allows us to buy a bagel. It's much bigger than that. God created money, he says, so that we are forced to be social with each other. And that blew me away. And I'm constantly blown away by hearing that money isn't just the ability to buy something else with a currency, but that there's a spiritual and biblical component to it. And that is fascinating.
After this commercial break, more with Ellie Langer of Kosher Money. Stay tuned.
A defining moment in your life could be transformational. And when that moment comes, you need to be prepared with emotional intelligence. Hi, I'm Chuck Garcia, author of Amazon's bestseller, A Climb to the Top, and my new book called The Moment That Defines Your Life is coming out in February 2024. Learn how to integrate modern practices of emotional intelligence with classic Stoic philosophies. Pre-order on Amazon today.
Take your company's leadership and management skills to new heights. Imagine soaring through the sky in a military-grade F-35 flight simulator just as the real thing. I'm Kobe Regev, CEO and founder of The Squadron, and I'm a former fighter pilot and a squadron commander in the Israeli Air Force. Our workshops offer an empowering training experience that will push your boundaries and help unleash your company's full potential. Visit us at thesquadron.com to learn more. That's thesquadron.com to learn more.
We have a special offer for the listeners of Mind Your Business only through December 31st.
If you go to mperformcoaching.com as a guest and as a listener of Mind Your Business Radio, you can get a free month of coaching for the month of December if you join the program. That way we can teach you these skills, these tools to be successful over the holidays and start 2024 right.
30 years of marketing secrets in a newsletter? Is that even possible? Go to bottomlinebrew.com to learn how to grow your customer base and boost your bottom line. Have the Bottom Line Brew weekly newsletter delivered straight to your inbox. Well, you'll learn from Fortune 500 executives such as Beth Comstock and Joe Hart. Go to bottomlinebrew.com. That's bottomlinebrew.com. Brew up some free marketing secrets at bottomlinebrew.com.
And we're back with Ellie Langer of Kosher Money. What an incredible episode. And those that are tuned in a little late, no worries. This goes up on all the different channels. In no time. And of course, we're up on 24/6 as well. And of course, Nucky Radio and Spotify. And by the way, Michal's going to have a job here on Business Class Clips with Nachi and Srilli. There are a lot of golden nuggets in this show. A lot of golden nuggets. And it's very, very special. Ellie, thank you for joining me here in studio, as discussed before the break.
In the flesh.
On the set, in flesh. As mentioned, you've interviewed a really wide range of experts, professionals, and even rabbis. You've had Rabbi Gladstein, Rabbi Gwertzman, and what's fascinating is that they have great perspective, and like you mentioned also earlier in the show, not necessarily all the same advice, but perhaps you could share from, as you said, being a part of this virtual, we don't want to say college because much better than college, but this virtual learning experience, I'm sure you've had yourself many takeaways as it applies to business advice and personal finance.
So I don't want the audience to think I have it all figured out.
Okay.
As much as I'm educated, okay, there is a, I am not a good budgeter. I am after 60 plus episodes and I know the importance of it. So what you hear and what you do are still very too, you have to bridge the gap. And that's something I still struggle with. And in 2024, I hope to improve. Now I've had episodes where, or at least personal episodes, where I've improved. But like I said, you need to create a process around it. We're actually working on an episode in 2024 titled loosely 13 financial moves every 21-year-old should make, but very practical, right?
So brilliant.
So one item, and this is not advice and read the whole disclaimer, but one piece of advice, I made the mistake. I bought whole life insurance or I call it a mistake because many financial advisors would say it's not the right product for people who are younger. You should be buying term life insurance. And term life insurance essentially is a larger payout if, God forbid, something was to happen to somebody. And the cost of that larger payout is dramatically less. At the end of the 30 years, that life insurance policy is gone, but it protects you and your family. Whether you need $500,000, $1 million, $1.5 million, I think a lot of people wait to get married in order to facilitate that. But if it takes someone 5 years, 10 years to get married, there's no reason they didn't invest in that policy, which will be dramatically cheaper and more cost friendly in their younger years. If we can get 122 people to act on that with an episode, that's huge, right? Other ideas that come to mind is actually speaking to a financial advisor to set up your 401k, to set up your IRA. The compounding component of money, the ability to put money away in your 20s versus 35, 45, 55, that compounding effect is dramatic. You'll have millions of dollars more if you act 10 years sooner. And that numbers, those numbers are real. People who have company match in their 401k, their IRA, some people know about it. They're not educated on it. So when they're presented within their company to, hey, do you want a 401k? Wait, I'm going to lose money right now. You're going to take out $100 from my paycheck. That means one less trip to the fast food joint. And when you tell them no, if you take out $100 and put it away, the company will give you an additional $100. And not everyone has that within their company, but they don't know any better. It's almost like we can write a book, like a playbook of do A, B, C. And we want to create that list of 13 things that regardless of what age, it's appealing when it's a 21-year-old. But some people are only learning about it at the age of 52. And they've lost out on 30 years of compounding effect or just good money decisions, building an emergency savings, not having the money completely liquid, knowing what a high yield savings account versus whatever Chase is giving you at 0.001%. Like little things that if you just were educated and took action once, it would set you set yourself up and your family up for years to come.
Amazing. Let's go to, if it's okay, sure. Even your day-to-day harvest. Yeah. Perhaps you could share some tips and tricks on, if it's okay, on email marketing, digital marketing.
Yeah. So the reason I got into the digital marketing space is because it's very people-focused, right? We have to think about marketing from the end user standpoint. We can't create marketing or messaging because of the story we want to tell. We have to do it in a way or with the glasses, wearing the glasses of the person who's seeing the story. And when you create content that doesn't resonate, you're doing everyone a disservice. You've wasted time to create it, and it's not actually helping the other person. So regardless of whatever business you're in, you have to understand what your consumer wants to see, hear, read, view, and then build backwards, right? It can't be about the service you're providing. I never tell someone, I do email marketing, right? It's, I help, and this is what Jason Pfeiffer was saying, right?
Like, an entrepreneur.
You have to craft your messaging in a way that's appealing. And what is appealing? It has to be useful to me. And you need to figure out what service you're providing and what the end result is. How are people benefiting from it? A lot of wasted marketing dollars, as you well know, goes into that misnomer that here are the services. No, what value are the people getting, and advertise that value.
And he really, he broke it out. And so, and by the way, on that episode with Jason Pfeiffer, Entrepreneur, he actually, anyone can go to it and listen to it. And then on there, I know as I was doing it, I'm like, hey, how am I going to fill in the blanks? I am a storyteller. I am a, you know.
it's a super important piece. I didn't even do that, right? Like to me, I'm in the business of content creation. Right. But like there is a real importance of locking yourself in a room and taking your to-do list out. A lot of the work that people get done, I found, is nighttime. There are no distractions. As a business owner, I don't know if you've ever come into the office on Sunday, but there's a peacefulness to it. Not to say that you guys behind the scenes aren't great, but when you're able to send emails out and not play ping pong in real time, there's no distraction. The smartphone, I think, is terrible, right? The WhatsApp generation. And I suffer from that in that there's a dopamine rush when you open up right. that WhatsApp, but essentially it's a distraction. And even though, yes, you need it, I think it's so important to block out time that allows you to focus on the priorities. My best days are the days I make a to-do list. And I say, these are the three most important things I need to do that day. And I walk out of the office at 6:11 p.m. and I say, wow, I did all three things that are important. Yes, I did a bunch of other things. It's a totally different feeling than walking out of the office knowing you didn't waste time, but did I get the most important things done? And internally and subconsciously, you know that you didn't, and it's deflating, and you sort of missed the boat on that day, and you're you feel it and you know it.
You know, Ellie, a couple of weeks ago, the phone system went down. And I'll never forget it. Someone here in the office said, you know, I never got so much work done.
It's true. It's true.
As we have only 3 minutes left, and I know that's one of the downside. I'm not knocking radio, and the radio has its benefits, but you know, we do have to keep an eye on the clock. Let's hold on to even goal setting, because perhaps you could share from some of your guests some other points. One is to make a to-do list. I think you also had a guest that Dasha had shared. Your to-do list also should have what you're not going to focus on.
Interesting. I'm not up to that because I still struggle with, I know it's important and I know making to-do list will make my day successful, but yet I struggle with actually making the to-do list. And that's sort of bridging the gap between knowing and doing. I think if anyone takes anything out of this episode is that they shouldn't take everything out of the episode. Find one thing. Find one thing that resonated with you for whatever reason, wherever you are in life, and put it into your phone notes or wherever you keep track and say, this is the one thing that I'm going to, you're not going to become Steve Jobs overnight. And even the Steve Jobs of to-doing, right? You can't take on everything on your to-do list. So if it's creating a to-do list, whether it's delegating, take on something small. And I know it's cliche, but otherwise, this episode will just be a feel-good episode. You're going to move on. The best thing I hear from people is that you said one thing in episode 7 or episode 15, and that really stuck with me, and I changed my life slowly as a result of it, which I think is the best compliment you can
give. And it's so special. And it's so true. It's not like, you know, everyone, God hardwired us and all in a very unique way. And there are different parts that are going to resonate to people, even though as a complete unit, the entire episode, each one of them. So, I mean, just to, you know, in closing, first of all, Mazel Tov, 1 million subscribers. I mean, did you make a kiddish? I mean, like, you know,
we didn't. It's exciting, but it's a metric. We can get, I didn't even, and this is not, as they call it, a T4. This is not like a humble brag. I didn't really focus too much on it because I find a whole lot more value in 10,000 views than the million, because I know the 10,000 views, especially after an episode like Rabbi Gwertzman about this, our ability now to, or our keen interest in overspending. And people are saying, you know, I don't really need a leased car. I can buy a used car and save money. And it's a bet. That to me is so much more rewarding than whatever vanity metric YouTube tells us. It's exciting because it knows we're heading in the right direction, but knowing that we've changed a family or how someone is doing something and they're doing it now for the better is so much more rewarding.
Ellie, before I let you go, any other last minute thoughts or tips just to share with the listeners on Mind Your Business? Very special episode.
Are you looking for the one tip to be successful?
It's whatever comes to mind, whatever. The one. And it doesn't mean, by the way, as discussed earlier in the show, doesn't mean this is to the exclusion of everything else.
I think one thing that I would say, if it was boiled down to how I try to live, is thinking about others. The most rewarding work, or when I go home at night, is not so much the work that I did, but the help I gave to somebody else. People will reach out and say, hey, do you have advice on A, or do you have a contact for B? And what I do after I give that contact or advice, I always write, or I try to write, keep me posted. I want to know the effect that my help had. because it fuels me to want to help more people. And if I'm not getting anything out of it, which most of the time is the case when we're doing chesed slash kindness, I want to know that I'm making a difference. And there's nothing wrong with that. So when you tell someone, keep me posted, you actually show a vested interest in that, even if your advice or contact didn't end up helping, but you're sort of empathizing with them and it shows that you care. And that to me is more rewarding than anything we've discussed until now.
Yeah, so, so special. And by the way, this is a testament to the entire Kosher Money podcast, because that's really, that's your MO. That's what you're doing. We, you know, every single episode.
Helping.
So, so special. Well, as it works in radio, we're out of time, or as Country Yossi used to say, we're hot by the clock. That was Country.
Let's create bonus content for premium subscribers.
He's always thinking. Well, this wraps up an amazing edition of Mind Your Business. You could catch this also on YouTube in 24/6, etc. Wow. Have a successful week. We're out of time.
Bye.
710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.